Radio leader 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB Studios in Kearney Mesa with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He is a CPA extraordinaire. He is a marathon runner. He is a philanthropist. He's a core member of Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable of San Diego. And his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. It's good to be here.
Good. Did I also mention that you are a family office advisor to several high net worth families? I hope I did. If not, there I did.
I don't know. Either you did that once or you did that twice. Do we have an accountant in the room?
I don't know.
You're a finance guy. Our guest is a finance guy. We can't introduce him quite yet.
Anyway, how was your week this week?
Anything? It was good. Tony Bennett at Pala.
Ah, what night was that?
Saturday night. He was in the outdoor, the Starlight Theater, 86 years old, lots of energy. I didn't know this, but he was discovered by Pearl Bailey. And his first employer was Bob Hope.
Really?
Well, I mean, employer in terms of, performing.
Right.
Obviously did some other things before he became known.
Anthony Dominic the Benedetto.
Correct, Italian, and out of Queens, New York.
And isn't it funny that I happened to analyze this last night for the... I'm catching up on some of these movies from the last two decades, but he was in the final scene of that film with De Niro and Billy Crystal, which is quite a funny movie, I thought. But anyway, how was the show? 86, he's still...
He's good.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
How long did he perform?
So over an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
This guy's amazing.
Yeah, well, remember Rickles went over an hour when he was up at Pala 3 months ago, and that was after Debbie Reynolds was up there for an hour.
I got to find out who makes his toupee. Maybe someday I'll break down and get one of them. any running this week with you and Mary?
Mary came in fourth place out of 36 women in her age group at the Encinitas 5K.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she was flying up and down Coast Highway.
So your petite little wife who just took up running a matter of a few months ago, and she's already kicking butt in her age group in several different categories.
Yeah, she wants to get faster. We're working on it.
Good for her. Congratulations, Mary. You're terrific.
I like fast women.
Mm-hmm.
But also got great response from my magazine article in the East County Magazine.
Oh, yes.
Miriam Raftery.
Yes.
And that was great stuff. That went out, I guess, on Monday about... the 40th anniversary what we had our show about last week, the famous tennis match between Bobby Riggs and Margaret Court in Ramona 40 years ago.
Oh, my God. I could
May 13th.
I could have done several hours. I challenge anybody to go on Wikipedia, look up Billie Jean King, and anybody who has more data than her, I'd like to know about. Because I think whoever's been putting material up about her on Wikipedia, I mean, it goes on. You scroll forever and ever. And, as Lorne said, she was voted one of the 100 most influential people of the last century, and rightfully so. But anyway, have you looked? I take a look at that, Richard, when you get home tonight
or
tomorrow.
I will. But got great response from that magazine article. A lot of people, most people have forgotten about that first match and how important it was. So that was neat.
You know what we forgot to mention, though? There is going to be a film or documentary that's going to be released within the coming weeks and months, I'm not sure if it's going to be in the theater or some large national broadcast, but be looking for it. It's going to be phenomenal. And I think you and I probably have a credit in that, Richard.
We deserve more than a credit in that, Joe, given that it's been a part-time job for the last year.
Well, I met you, and then I just went berserk and started making phone calls and emails and blah, blah, and there you go.
There you go. But anyway, let's get to our show tonight.
Why not?
Enough of this small talk. So let me give some background about our guest, but actually not about our guest, but why our guest is in here. So, you mentioned, Joe, that I'm part of Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable here in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Star San Diego. That's actually not a networking group. That's a collaboration platform. I have a real challenge with most networking groups because most networking groups tell people to talk about themselves and tell everybody how great they are. Like, hi, I'm Richard. I'm a CPA and I'm the best CPA in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't give me your tax return to do in the next 2 or 3 days or refer your parents or your brother, I'll call you and email you and bug you endlessly until you send me business. That's like networking message. So STAR is a collaboration platform. Collaboration is about how people can work together to provide better value to the end user, the customers. And we always tell people in STAR that the question you should lead with, instead of talking about yourself, is the question, how may I serve?
Mm.
So that leads directly into our show tonight, where we have the chairman of Datron World Communications, as well as the founder and CEO of the Servant Leadership Institute. That would be Mr. Art Barter. Art, welcome.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here.
Excellent.
So, Art, you wear many hats, and I think we'll probably talk about both stories or multiple hats that you wear, because I know what you've done as the CEO or chairman now of Datron does definitely have a lot to do with the great things that you're doing with the Servant Leadership Institute. But before we do that, can you just give our listeners some brief background about you, what you do, and why on earth are you here?
Well, but his whole bio, is that what you're talking, Richard?
Yeah, like, you're just some brief details.
Okay. We're born and raised.
Born and raised, college, and business career.
Born at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. My dad was a CB in the service at the time. Spent 2 years crawling around the dirt there, and then came to California. Been here ever since, so I'm pretty much a California guy. Okay. Grew up in Tustin, went to Tustin High School, and attended Cal State Fullerton. I earned 2 degrees, one in finance and one in business, and then went to work for Disney up in Anaheim. Spent 10 years with Disney, tracking everything from attendance to shooting galleries to parades to floats, anything I could get involved with. And left there and went to work for a manufacturing company that manufactured printers, high-performance printers, and learned to love manufacturing. And I've been in manufacturing ever since. And I still believe that the U.S. can manufacture product and be competitive on the world scene. And we manufacture here in right in Vista, California. We have over 100,000 square feet of manufacturing space. So. And spent some time with a company that made high-performance DC motors for bone cutters and all the way up to telescopes to CAT scan units in the medical industry, and then came to work for Datron. And the reason I came to work for them is they were doing 90% of their business at the time overseas in the international marketplace. And when I looked into where they were doing business, I had to go to a map to find out where the countries were that they were doing business in, places like Sri Lanka and Bangladesh and Botswana, and I had no idea where they were. And I wanted to go to work with them and experience that international business, and went to work for them in 97 and loved it, just loved doing business internationally. Spent a lot of time in Zimbabwe on my first project and got a $15 million HF program in Zimbabwe for the government down there to control their borders, and then went to work in Indonesia and did a similar type program for Indonesia on a program to where they bought VHF product, but we shipped the product in kits and we helped them put together a manufacturing facility, so we actually put some people to work down there as well, and that was a lot of fun. And we do business around the world. A lot of business in the Middle East right now. Afghan National Army is our largest customer at this time. And we go wherever the U.S. wants to help countries create democracy. We will help them do that by providing radio equipment that will help the generals we deal with provide security and sovereignty for their nations.
And, you're based in Vista, California?
Based and headquartered in Vista, California.
Wow,
right.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
So speaking of manufacturing, our guest next week, Tom McLaughlin from UBS, mentioned, we taped the show because he was in town, so we're not going to air it live next Sunday. He taped the show that we should expect a renaissance in American manufacturing because of the low cost of natural gas in this country. So that's really exciting news to those of us who have been sort of lamenting the fact that manufacturing has moved overseas in many, many cases. So didn't really want to talk about that, but I just wanted to throw that in. So Art, before we get to the Servant Leadership Institute, I know you worked 8 years with Disney Corporation, which is one of my favorite companies on the planet. What did you learn about leadership there or culture? I'm just curious.
The culture there, you know, their purpose is to make people smile. And it basically was the on show. When you went on stage out in the public, that was your job, to help people, make them smile, let them have a great time, keep them safe. And what was interesting about Disney, once you got behind the stage, you had all the regular stuff you have in a corporation, right, going on. And most of the time, that organization was run really, really well, a very, very well-run company. And once people went to work regularly, they stayed there. And so the only way to get ahead was you get in line, wait for somebody to get promoted, wait for somebody to leave the company or retire. And that was the way you got ahead. And I wasn't a patient young man at the time and didn't want to get in line. So that's why I left and thought there was greener pasture around the corner.
Interesting.
When you were there, Art, I was in Disneyland, I think, in 1974. They had the Walt Disney story, the film, in one of those little exhibits. And I thought that was fascinating. And apparently, he was $66 million in debt at the time when he proposed to build this park. And if Mary Poppins had not hit as a success, he would have been in real financial trouble. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, he actually filed for bankruptcy three times.
Three times. Three times. I thought it was just one. Wow.
I think it was three, if okay. I remember correctly. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So he, so. Thank God, things worked out. Because could have gone the other way if. Look at the films have been legend. Hey, we had Irwin Jacobs in here, and he said as a young child, I asked him how did he gain his passion for classical music? He said as a young boy, his mother took him to see Fantasia.
Mm-hmm.
He went back three, four, five times, and he was four times. And he was hooked then. And, of course, look, he's gone on to been a big supporter of classical music here in San Diego and around the world, I'd have to say.
See, my kids grew up on Little Mermaid.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yep. Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, we all grew up on something with Disney, that's for darn sure.
Well, I love the Disney. It's the happiest place on earth. And my daughter, Demi, who's 16, it's the one place that she goes about every calendar quarter.
Isn't she like a lifetime member or something?
She's a lifetime member of Disneyland. She actually owns Disneyland stock, which has actually done really well. But let's get on to Servant Leadership Institute. Let me read the sentence on Art's bio. The success of Art's company as well as the Institute itself was born out of Art's desire to transform a traditional system of leadership into a servant-led organization. So Art, let's back up a few steps. What is a traditional system of leadership when we're talking about, for example, a for-profit business or corporation or entity?
Sure. When I get asked that, most of the time I just talk about if you work for a company that wants to know what you're going to do this quarter, you know, what's your performance going to be this quarter? How much is your revenue going to be? How much your profit's going to be? You get done with that quarter, and then first day of next quarter, what are you going to do for me next quarter? All right, what's the new goal? What do you shoot for? Everybody's shooting for that short-term goal. There's no discussions of long-term goals. The purpose of, we're talking about Disney, the purpose of Disney was to make people smile. It wasn't to make money. It wasn't to generate revenue. It wasn't to put parks across the way. It was to make people smile. And it was easy for the employees to remember. It was easy for the employees to grasp onto because they didn't have to remember quarterly numbers. They didn't have to remember quarterly goals. They didn't have to remember what was going on. And so when we were able to buy Datron, we were already convinced, based on some things that had transpired to us, we were going to run it in a different way. We'd already committed to that. And we had started to learn about servant leadership through Ken Blanchard about a year before that happened, and studied servant leadership and said, you know what? This is what we want to do. We want to help people. We want to help our employees. We want to help our customers. And so our purpose in life is to positively impact the lives of other people today and in the future. And it's that simple. Yeah.
Hey, Art, hang on. We've got to come right back. We're going to take a little break here. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life with Art Barter, chairman of Datron World Communications and founder and CEO of Servant Leadership Institute, and Richard Musio, CPA. Good evening, Richard.
Yes, so before the break, we were talking about the traditional model of leadership in corporations and business, which is generally that goals are fairly short-term. How are we performing this quarter? Sales for this quarter, profits for this quarter. And we were making the point that servant leadership sort of transforms that traditional model. So Art, let's go to the servant leadership model. How does that compare to a traditional model? And then also I want to discuss how you've sort of work this into the tremendous success that your corporation, Datron, has had.
Sure. If you think of an organization chart from a traditional managed company where the CEO is at top, he has his staff below him, they have all their staffs below them. If you take that org chart and turn it upside down, just flip it up, where the CEO is on the bottom that is a great organization picture of what servant leadership is all about. My job as CEO is to make sure my people succeed, that they succeed in whatever job we ask them to do. We provide them inspiration. We provide them the tools they need, the training they need, whatever they need. We help them to meet those goals. And they don't work for me. I work for them. And that goes for my management team as well. We work for the people in the company. And it's our job to make sure they succeed. If they don't succeed, and my manager does succeed, then I've got a problem. Because our focus is on our people. We want to care about our people. And that means we care about, why do we have a great performer one part of the year and a lousy performer next in the same person? Mm-hmm. Something's going on there. And our job isn't just to fire them. Our job is to go find out what's going on so we can get them back to where they were before and take care of them and show that we care. And what's amazing is when you show people that you care about them, and it can just be a pat on the back. It could be, hey, how are your kids doing? And you name them by name. You know, how's your son doing in college? When's he due back? It is amazing how people respond to that and what they'll do to help the company succeed.
So tell us about Datron and how you've used servant leadership in your corporation. And I guess that would be sort of a before and after story too, wouldn't it?
Sure, sure. You know, we got into servant leadership with Ken Blanchard and introduced it to me in 2003. And in 2004, when we were part of Titan, we went through a Foreign Corrupt Practices Act investigation with them. I was actually a subject to a criminal investigation with the Department of Justice.
Hmm.
Now, what that means is they don't know if I'm innocent or guilty. They're going to investigate me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the problems I had with what was going on at the time was I found this out from an attorney in New York that I never met before. No one in my company had enough respect for me to pick up the phone and tell me what was going on.
And this was Titan at the time,
It was
right?
Titan at the time, yeah. Right. And I worked for Datron, a subsidiary of Titan.
Right.
And we were investigated for about a year. And when it came down to it, we were told by one of the accounting folks that the whole process wasn't about FCPA. The whole process was there was a chink in the armor, and the acquiring company saw it, and they wanted a better price for the deal.
Hmm.
So they were willing to throw away 70 family lives. We had 70 people working for us at the time for a better price in the deal. Now, we went through hell for a year. I mean, we went through hell. I couldn't ship anything.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't talk to reps. I had been interviewed on multiple occasions by different attorneys. Interrogated is probably a better word for that. and we were just put through hell. And when we got through that and they told us they didn't find anything, because they looked at everything for 5 years. They came in and said, we're going to look at everything for the previous 5 years you did.
Wow. It's a long time.
Didn't find anything. And they found some administrative stuff that we had to take care of, but that was minor. They went on to other organizations within Titan and found some problems, and that led to some issues that Titan had to take care of.
But to back up, now, Titan had acquired Datron, correct?
Titan had acquired Datron several years before, right?
Okay.
Yep. And
would you describe Titan's leadership as being old-fashioned or new-fashioned?
I would say there was a mix within Titan. There was some old-fashioned and some new coming up through the ranks. So it was a mix. And everyone there respected the employees. That's one thing I say about Titan. Everybody there respected the employees. And I have a high respect for the folks there. When they got into crises like this, they just didn't know how to deal with their employees very well. Yeah. At the end of all this, we got the opportunity to buy the company, and we bought the company. We were doing about $10 million in revenue at the time. We were losing money. And so we bought the company, and in the first month of business, we booked $11 million worth of orders. And $7 million came from Zimbabwe, the customer I had served several years earlier.
Sure.
And took care of them, and they came back to us, and they had a $7 million order for us. And we got that. And 3 months later, we received a $40 million order from the U.S. government to help in Afghanistan because we had served the customer and taken care of business there. We bought the company for $4.7 million, and in 8 months, we had it paid off. We had no debt. And from that point forward, we decided that our job was to serve our customers and take care of them. And we established a purpose in the company to positively impact the lives of other people. And we decided to do that in several ways. One was primarily, you know, serving our customers. And secondarily, we took 10% of our income and set it aside every quarter into a charitable fund for Datron. And we set it up so that the employees of Datron were the only ones could make grants into that fund.
Hmm.
We don't accept any other grants outside the company. We just let our employees decide where that money goes.
Hmm.
So now they have stake in the purpose of the company.
Mm-hmm.
They can go help and positively impact the lives of others mm-hmm. through grants through the charitable fund. All right.
Hmm.
We started to grow. That first year, my team wanted to know how much I wanted to grow the company. And I told them, I'm not going to tell you how much. I'm not going to set a number.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's go serve people in our industry and let them decide how fast we're going to grow. Hmm. Let them decide with their checkbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went off and we went after three or four different countries and we won them, won the business because we were there to serve and not to just sell radios.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way I can tell you, we did a radio for the Afghan National Army. They were having problems with their men understanding how to operate our handheld radio. And the general finally sat down with me after a couple years and said, Art, here's my problem. 80% of my men can't read or write their own language, Dari. And I have to teach them how to use your radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to deploy them within 6 weeks. Now, any new radio that gets introduced to the U.S. military goes out here to Camp Pendleton for at least a year.
Right.
At least a year.
Right.
So he has, this is a problem. He says, I need a simple radio. So he told me what he wanted. I said, General, give me a year. We took a year. We developed a handheld radio for him with the five features that he wanted. I got on a plane, flew into Kabul, and had lunch in his office and said, General, this is a radio just for you. We made this just for you. Nobody else. This is your radio. And I have over 40,000 of those on the ground in Afghanistan today.
Wow.
Okay, because of that service.
Right.
And he told me, he says, Art, no other radio manufacturer has done this for me.
Wow.
Wow. Speaking of radio, we'll be back with more radio right after new sports weather.
A radio story on radio.
You got it. Hang on, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. All right, we're back with the second half of It's Your Money and Your Life, and now over to Richard to thank all of our wonderful sponsors.
All of our sponsors, thank you. Those sponsors are...
You got to go down the list,
I'm going to go down the list, Joe. That's UBS with Mr. Michael Coranta and Drew Freitas. Couldn't do it without you guys. And again, we have Tom McLaughlin from UBS on next Sunday. He was in town from New York, so we taped him. He's going to talk about why you don't want to invest in bonds the same way that your grandmother did. But it's going to be a great show. I've already heard it because we already taped it. When we get him in town, we take advantage. Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton with Regents Bank, best business bank here in San Diego. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. San Diego's best estate planning attorney, Rich Gaines, with Family Legacy Legal. Our favorite CPAs on the planet. Also in Vista, California, that's Polito Epic CPAs with Don Epic and Paul Polito. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics. Let me try that again. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics. Jason is also a CPA, but he specializes in providing CFO services. And, of course, the best valuation resource on planet Earth, Business Valuations Limited, Mr. Carl Sheeler. Thank you to all of our sponsors. And Joe, how can our listeners find out more about our great sponsors?
Well, if they get on any kind of computer or smartphone or any kind of device of that nature and go to iymoney.com, the letters I and Y and money.com, and click on sponsors, it's all there. All of our podcasts are there, which are commercial free. So you can tune in next week and hear this show in 42 minutes. So that's a good thing to have.
It's a good thing.
And there you have it, Richard.
And I want to thank Leslie Riggs from Xero, the accounting software company, who was checking out our website today and noticed that the word business was misspelled in one place.
Huh.
So Leslie, thanks for pointing that out because... After all, I was an English minor in college, and I don't like things like that on my website.
If you keep Bobby Riggs scrapbooks, you better get,
I've got to be perfect. Yeah, perfection is what was expected, and that's what he got.
And folks, these sponsors are not just people who just called us up and said, hey, can we sponsor your show? They are all friends and colleagues, and you've known these people for many years, right?
I've known some of these people for over 20 years.
Yeah.
So so we keep going back and back and doing business together because they're the best, as I say.
Right.
And speaking of how to get a hold of people, Art Barter, how can people find out more about the Servant Leadership Institute, you, and contact you?
Great. Pretty easy, servantleadershipinstitute.com. You can reach us on the internet. You can go to Datron's website, which is D, as in dog, T, Tom, W, William, and C, Charlie, dtwc.com, and there's a link there to the Servant Leadership Institute as well.
Okay, neat.
And good old phone works as well. You look us up and dial us up. We'll answer the phone, too.
Okay. Yeah, I'm amazed in this age of, everything moving really fast and people saying they give great service when you can't actually talk to somebody quickly. I don't know how that's serving, but whatever.
Yeah, don't you hate when you get the if you want this, press one.
I like, Joe, is your call is very important to us. The expected hold time is 22 more minutes.
That's right.
Like, really? It's that important to you?
When you dial a VIP and you get them, sometimes you get right through to, if you want to get a CEO, I've always discovered that early Monday morning or late Friday afternoon, they're in their office like 6 o'clock. So
yeah, I got to get those emails out of the way Friday afternoon before you go home.
I called the CEO of Costco once up in Washington area, and he picked up on two rings, and it just about floored me. But
getting back to Servant Leadership Institute. So you were mentioning that you're doing this at Datron, but when after you bought Datron from Titan and you made a commitment to change your leadership model, in other words, to flip it upside down so the leader was at the bottom and the people who are serving the company and the customers are at the top, was that a big adjustment for people, for your team members? Because to me that seems like such a cultural shift that almost everybody must have been shocked by the effort.
It's a big change for people, and some will make that change easier than others. And so that creates an environment where everybody's transforming their behavior differently at different speeds. And it makes my job a little bit tougher because, just because somebody's a little bit slower than somebody else doesn't mean that they're not there. We can't keep them.
Right.
So the adjustment is pretty steep for some people. And the example I use when I talk around town is I have people cross their arms like they normally do, and then I ask them to reverse that and put the other arm on top of the other one. And some of the people in the room can't do it.
I was going to say, that wasn't that easy. I just tried it.
They can't do it. And I had a manager on my team who told me, Art, this is wrong. He didn't say it was different. He said, this was wrong. And that's when we started to understand that this transformation that everybody's got to make, everybody's going to do it a different way. And so we started educating our management team. And we spent about a year or so doing that. And I would say I'd probably give myself maybe a C- success with that. Business was growing at the time, so we were doing well. But we decided we had to train everyone in the company, and we had to train them based on the same material, not special material for the CEO and the management team. Mm-hmm. And so we developed our own training program of 3 modules. Each module consists of 15 hours worth of training, and every employee goes through that training. They're required to go through that training. Now, if there's some exercises in that training that they don't like or makes them feel too uncomfortable and they're not ready for it, that's fine. They can step out. They can go do their thing, and that's okay. All right, because we know it's gonna cause some issues with some folks, and so we want to be sympathize with that and help them through that. Overall, the training is pretty straightforward, but it does a lot of team building, a lot of understanding on what servant leadership is all about, and how we have to change the way we behave. And behavior is really where the rubber hits the road, because I can tell people I want to serve you, but if I go out and buy a Bentley and an RV and a yacht and tell people I don't have any bonus for you this year, even though you met your plan, I'm not a servant leader. Now, they have every right to say, wait a minute, Art's all out for himself. So this is a bunch of talk.
Lip service.
Yeah, lip service. So now, Does the transformation cause some problems with some people? Yeah, some people won't make it. Some people will not make it. They can't get out of this quarterly mode. They've been rewarded, especially at the management team level, they've been rewarded for so long in their careers for meeting quarterly profits and not caring how they get to those quarterly profits.
There's a lot of this taught in the business schools, too, that I'll bet the MBA programs. Richard, what do you think?
I don't think it is, Joe, and I think that's not good. Yeah, what do you think, Art?
Servant leadership is just starting to get to that level.
Okay.
We're starting to make some inroads here locally. Camp Blanchard has a great program down here in San Diego. They've got some good programs here. It's starting to take hold, and what we're seeing is when we go talk to people, everybody that we talk to wants a change. The management team wants a change. The senior team wants a change. The people on the floor want a change. Everybody's looking for something different because they're tired of going through this, let's beat them up and get results to please some shareholder that we've never even met, right? So they're looking for something different. We've had a couple of senior programs out of Cal State San Marcos come in and do some work for us on servant leadership, and they leave flabbergasted. They want to come to work for us. They don't want to look for a job. They want to go to work for us.
Right. I would imagine.
So, well, the proof's in the pudding. But, obviously, the revenues, you know, you don't set goals. You just say, let's go out and serve, and things happen, right?
In 2010, we hit a high. Our guys booked new business over $200 million in 2010. We had record year of revenues, bookings, cash flow, record of everything that year. And so the things were going around, run real well. And, you know, when things are going well, it's easy to keep this mode going. When things start coming down a little bit, like everybody's challenged today, we're challenged today. It's interesting what we're finding out about a servant-led organization versus a non-servant-led organization. Earlier this year, we had to let go of some people because our business was down with the U.S. government. Surprise, surprise. And what we found out was because of the reputation of Datron in town and because of the training that people knew that our employees went through, we had some employees get jobs in 2 days because they knew the character of the people they were hiring. Guys that did business with us, they already knew the character of the company, the character of the employees, and they wanted those people to come to work for them. And so we saw our employees absorbed in the workplace a lot faster than someone who didn't work for Datron. And that was a surprise to us. We hadn't thought about that as being a plus for servant leadership before. So we're documenting that right now. We do something different on days where we terminate people. You know, companies today worry about their computer security and their security in their building and their walk them out the door. Tell them, walk them out the door, get them out as fast as possible. We go to just the opposite. They can stay around all day long if they want to. I don't lock down their computers. I don't lock their offices. I don't lock anything. Those are people who helped us get meet our goals over the years. They deserve and they've earned the right to say goodbye to the people they've worked with for so many years. Why do I want to walk them out the door in 20 minutes? Why want to treat them like I don't even know them? Whenever they've served us in such a great way over so many years. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. And the impact that had on employees, both inside the company, outside the company, was amazing.
I can only imagine. Yeah. I read an article recently. I forget who wrote it, but it said that collaboration, not competition, is the way of business in the future.
Well, let's collaborate after we take a short break. We'll be right back. Once your money and your life. Hang on. All right, we're in the home stretch of It's Your Money and Your Life with Art Barter, who's chairman of Datron World Communications and founder and CEO of Servant Leadership Institute. And over to Richard.
So, Art, this is sort of a two-part question. Back in February, my partner in the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation, Kathy Kinane, attended a Servant Leadership Institute event where I believe John Maxwell was one of the speakers, among many other great speakers. And getting back to your comment about how 10% gets put away so that employees can basically participate in the community, I, of course, frequently present in public on the topic of the need for business leaders to become active leaders in their community. Because if not for business leaders, I mean, who's better qualified than business leaders to actually make positive change in their communities? I think my foundation has been living proof of that. We hosted about 14,000 people in downtown Oceanside last Thanksgiving morning. So my joke is always, if you think you had a lot of people over for Thanksgiving, I probably got you beat. But as a two-part question, the employees who do this, I mean, was that also a shock to them culturally that they were working for a company that actually cared about the community that they were in?
It is. It's interesting. You tell people that you have this fund and that they can submit grant requests into it. And most employees, we have to explain to them what a grant request is and and help them fill it out. It's a one-page request, and we make it very simple. And then they can give money away. Now, first of all, how'd the money get there? And so we go through that, and we show people every quarter how much goes into the fund, how many people we sent money to in the fund. It gets reported every quarter, and we post everything that goes on with that fund on our intranet, so they can go see any details at any time, from the day one we started it to today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had some people latch onto it and start to understand they can submit a request for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to an organization here in town that has helped their families or mean something to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when an organization in town gets a check for $25,000, they go, wow, this is cool. Who are you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you guys? And that's when we say, you know, we want to stay anonymous. We don't want a whole lot of recognition. We're never going to deliver a check to you. We're just doing this because this is what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we believe that your left hand should know what the right hand is doing. We'd like to keep it quiet. But it took us a while to get people to understand that everybody in the company could do this. Some people said, no, only managers can do it. No, everybody. Everybody can do it.
How many employees do you have approximately?
Right now, about 180.
Okay.
Yep. And we have one gal that works on our floor. She's been supporting an orphanage for seniors and children in her hometown of Vietnam for the last 5 years with us. And, of course, with the money that we send there, you send them $10,000, they can almost rebuild a home for it.
Yeah, I was going to say $10,000 in Vietnam. Yeah. It's like $190,000 here.
So that part of it, we report every quarter. And, you know, so far into the fund, since we started it in 2004, we've put over $10 million into the fund.
Wow, yeah. That's incredible. And this event that my partner, Kathy Kinane, attended in February, I know it was open to the public. I know a lot of businesses don't like to share their technology or their secrets of success with other people in business. But obviously, the event that the Servant Leadership Institute held in February, you guys were basically giving away your knowledge.
We are.
Well, I mean, what's behind that, or why are you doing that?
It's our purpose to serve and help people. Two ways that you can measure the effectiveness of servant leadership are the people that you're serving, do they grow? All right? Are they growing? The second thing, and I think more important, is are those that are less fortunate in society than we are they better off once they've come in contact with you? It doesn't have to be money. It can be a pat on the back. It can be a nice word. It can be a smile. But are they better off because they've gotten in contact with Datron? And that's what's behind it. We want people to be better off after they've experienced Datron and their employees. And we want to always go by with a positive feeling, whatever that may be. And it may be out of the fund. It may not be out of the fund.
You know, you mentioned pat on the back, and I've read studies or articles that employees, it's more important to them to get some recognition or some positive response from the company, more so than monetary compensation, correct?
That's correct. A pat on the back, recognizing for the job that they just got done shipping, the program they just got completed. We had an instance where there was a report here locally at the AP wrote in the North County Times that came and said that elections in Zimbabwe that year were the least violent in their history.
Wow.
And I took that, gave it to the people at an all-hands meeting and said, this is why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. You guys provided radios to make that happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we're bringing back that event and going, here's what you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
The radios you ship out of here are helping keep peace around the world.
That's all amazing.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I know at the event that my partner Kathy attended, there were some amazing speakers. For example, John Maxwell. Tell our listeners who John Maxwell is, if you'd be so kind.
John Maxwell is one of the current day gurus in leadership. He has probably trained well over a million leaders around the world. He travels everywhere, writes books on leadership, is a believer in servant leadership, and has helped us in our transformation. Our annual event is in February. We have an annual conference where we bring in speakers like John Maxwell, Ken Blanchard, folks that are experts in the field, and let them spend time with people who want to learn about servant leadership. And then we break out in separate groups. Popeye Chickens, we had the CEO of Popeye mm-hmm. Chickens here last February. They're implementing servant leadership with over 10,000 people in their organization worldwide right now. So you get exposure to people who are making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
in their organizations today, how they're doing it, what challenges they're having, how they deal with those challenges. And then you get some interface with the Datron management team.
Wonderful, Art. Well, thank you for making it happen because we're out of time right now.
But Joe, by the way, you did a great job tonight. I'm just patting you on the back.
Well, thank you, Richard. Hey, all you execs, please and thank you go a long, long way. So, Richard, you have a great week, and thank you for being here. Justin Hart,
Art, thanks so much.
Our sound tech. Thank you for being here, Justin. And thanks to Craig Blank, your account executive, and to Dave Sniff, our programming genius here. You have a great week, everybody, and get out there and serve. Take care now. Good night.